bring home to show you all. Well, today we come to the third thing that we were talking about. We're talking about Mary, a virgin called Mary, and a man called Joseph. That was in our first Bible study. And the second one is a place called Bethlehem. And the third one will be next week in my home, hopefully, a child called Jesus. And last week, we went through, very quickly, we went through the Marys of the New Testament and talked about Mary, the mother of Jesus, a poor young Jewess, poor young peasant, and how she was a virgin and the Spirit of God overshadowed her and made her conceive, and about her characteristics, her submissive spirit, her faith and piety, her spirituality and her maternal confidence, her quiet spirit, her self-control, her knowledge of the Old Testament, her maternal love and her courage. She trusted what the angel said and she undertook a very arduous journey of 50 or more miles, stony, bandit-ridden country. She went courageously into the unknown and if you read the paean of praise when you got home, well, it was a paean of praise for the honor and privilege accorded to her by God himself to be the mother of the Messiah, and how it fulfilled prophecy. There was no other way for God to send us a Savior than to be born of a virgin, his son to be born of a virgin. And then we went on to think about Joseph, the earthly father, not biological, that God chose for his son. We talked about his kindness. We talked about the fact that he was a man of faith, and he exercised faith. And he was obedient to the voice of his God wholeheartedly. And it's wholehearted obedience secures entrance into the kingdom of God. It's the key to spiritual knowledge. He was obediently devoted to his religious duty, keeping all the Hebrew festivals. He was a carpenter. He lived in Nazareth. He was of David's descent. He was morally upright, and he quickly responded to all the orders God spoke through an angel. People said, is not this the carpenter's son, when Jesus got up in the synagogue, and his skill as a carpenter must have been great, and the fact that he was a carpenter passing on his skill to the Lord Jesus in those early years, that always moves me, because I always think when Jesus made yokes for the oxen, he made it very smooth. There was nothing to damage the animal. In that smooth way, he finished off the yoke. And hearing his words in the scriptures, what is it? Come to me, can't just find it, but take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew chapter 11:28. Thank you, Peter. And now we come to a place called Bethlehem. But I'm going to read from the scripture in Matthew 2. Shall I just read it? After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he'd called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he'd been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." The Lord bless his reading this to our hearts. Our place called Bethlehem, it means house of bread. And in Jacob's time, it was called Ephrath, and that means fruitful. Now, Bethlehem, I suppose, well, I think quite a few of us have been to Jerusalem. It's to Bethlehem. It's 5 miles from Jerusalem, and it's 2,555 feet above sea level in the hill country of Judea. It's on the main highway to Hebron and to Egypt. And from the Mount of Olives, as you stand there, you can see Bethany in the middle distance. And you can see in the far distance the River Jordan and the Dead Sea and the mountains of Moab on the horizon. Bethlehem was a city of Judah. And the slopes, they still abound. It's lovely to see this fruitful part of the world, part of Israel. The slopes abounding in vines and figs and olives and almonds. And the shepherd's fields, you could still recognize just on the outskirts of Bethlehem. Well, I'm taking you through a few of the incidents that we read of in the Old Testament about Bethlehem. Many things happened in Bethlehem. In Genesis 48 and 7, Rachel died on the road to Bethlehem. And she was buried there beside the road. It's quite a story. Rachel was a keeper of sheep and mother of Joseph. She was attractive, we read, and she was unattractive because she was a schemer. And she died giving birth to Benjamin in Genesis 35 and 17. And it was the home of Elimelech, Naomi's husband, father-in-law of Ruth. We read that in Ruth chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. It was the home of Boaz in Ruth chapter 2, the lovely story of Boaz and Ruth at harvest time in the harvest fields at Bethlehem. We read that Ruth and Boaz marry, and they have a son, and he's called Obed. And he was the father of Jesse, the father of David. So David was their great-grandson. David means beloved. He was the youngest son of Jesse of Bethlehem. 1 Samuel 16, a lovely story. Isn't it amazing that Jesus was not called son of Abraham or Jacob, but the son of David? David was the most famous of Christ's ancestors. He was an athlete, a musician, a general, and the greatest king that Israel ever had. His early years were spent on his father's farm in Bethlehem. He grew and developed in courage and strength and attractiveness while caring for his father's sheep. 16 in Samuel, we read in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 13 that he was filled with God's Spirit. He was called the sweet psalmist of Israel. He was anointed very quietly in his own home, surrounded by his family, his brothers, to be the next king of Israel, anointed by Samuel, because the Lord had specifically put his hand on David. He said to Jesse, I'm sent to see one of your sons to anoint him. And of course, there were only a few of the sons there. David was away in the fields. But we read that David came in, and when Samuel saw him, he knew that was the Lord's anointed. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 13 says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. And so after that, we read of his service to Saul. In 1 Kings 16, 14 onwards, one of Saul's servants came up to him and said, look, there is a certain man, young man, who knows how to play the harp. He's brave, he's a warrior, he speaks well, he's a fine-looking man. And then he said, this is best of all, the Lord is with him. And so that was how David was invited into Saul's household. And whenever Saul had this evil spirit, which he had from time to time, come upon him, he sent for David to calm him. And the evil spirit left him, didn't it? In the shepherd's fields at Bethlehem, we read that he killed a bear and a lion while protecting his sheep. That's in 1 Samuel 17 and 36. Here in Bethlehem, he killed Goliath. The story's in 1 Samuel 17, the story we've loved since we were very little. How with a stone and with the sling, he hit Goliath and killed him. We read that Bethlehem was named the town of David in Luke chapter 2. And here near Bethlehem, on the run from Saul and the Philistines, he longs for a drink of water from Bethlehem's well. 2 Samuel 23 and 15, we read that three of his mighty men crossed the Philistine lines, the war, the battle lines. And they endangered their own lives to fetch water from the well at Bethlehem that David was longing for. And when they brought back the water, David thought it was too precious to drink. And he just poured it out before the Lord. He wouldn't drink it, because of the sacrifice that his men had made for him. And then in 2 Chronicles 11 and 6, we read that King Rehoboam, he was a bad king. He'd set up pagan shrines and allowed abominable practices to be observed. That's 1 Kings 14. He loved luxury and show and gathered a huge harem around him and reared a large family. We read that in 2 Chronicles 11. But he built up fortified cities in Judah, and one of them was Bethlehem. And so we read in Micah 5:2, "You, Bethlehem, though you are small amongst the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." And that was a prophecy of the coming Messiah to be born in Bethlehem. And it was written 700 years before it actually happened. We read of it in Matthew 2 and 1 to 6. So we read of it in Luke chapter 2 and verse 4. And of it in John chapter 7 and verse 42. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, and so on. And then in John chapter 7 and verse 42, it says, "Does not the scripture say that the Christ will come from David's family and from Bethlehem, the town of David?" The place called Bethlehem. Our Lord and Savior was born in a stable to a virgin whose husband was Joseph from the line of David. And here in that lowly cavern, our dear Savior was born, flesh of our flesh. Our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. And that's all in Jerusalem. Bethlehem, I'm sorry. And I just wanted to read a poem that I wrote a few years ago. I did read it here a few years ago too, but maybe you've forgotten. It's called Bethlehem. God's hour had come, the hour that he had chosen before creation's dawn, the hour that made history of promise and mystery, of majesty and prophecy, of mercy and redemption, of glorious intervention in the cool, calm glow of an Eastern night. A night when heaven combined with earth, when angels spoke to shepherds of a birth, a billion, billion stars stood sentinel with air of expectation over the slopes of Bethlehem. Bethlehem, where gardens still abound with olive groves and figs and vines, upon whose hills a shepherd lad had kept his father's flock, and where he'd slain a bear, killed a giant with a stone and sling, within whose walls he'd been anointed king. In this small town of Bethlehem, trudged Joseph and Mary. She serene but weary nonetheless. No booked accommodation, no layette, yet strong in faith. For God himself had said, "Be not afraid." But no place to lay her head, no room, men said, and so they led them to the cattle shed. The lantern casts its gentle beams to make a silhouette, earthy, steaming body sweat. Breath rises like a morning mist. a tiny mouse disturbed scurries to his darkened nest. A mule must satiate her thirst before she goes to rest. A beast, contented, munches scented hay, while Joseph kneels beside the stall to pray.